In the land of dreams and sunny beams, where colors dance and laughter gleams, there lives an optimist oh so bright, whose heart is filled with pure delight. I'm full of glee, yes, can't you see? The world's a wondrous place to be. With every challenge, big or small, I'll rise above, I'll stand tall. In every storm and cloud of gray, the optimist will find a way. Through ups and downs, they'll gladly cheer. I'll turn the frown to a grin, oh dear. I'll see the good in all I meet with kindness, love, and smiles sweet. I'll sow the seeds of hope and glee and watch them bloom. You just wait and see. I'll dream big dreams and reach for the stars. There are no limits, no prison bars. The sky's the limit, so they say. I'll soar high up and I'll make my way. And when the shadows try to creep, I'll shine a light and they'll soon retreat. For in my heart, a fire burns, an optimist who always learns. Each stumble, too, is but a chance to learn, to grow, sing and dance. With joy in my heart and a soul of a choir, I'll keep on dancing and never tire. So let us learn from the optimist's song to face each day, to stand up strong. Embrace the joy, the hope, the thrill, and spread the love and the world you'll fill.
My father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. He took me in his arms, I heard him say, when you get older, your wild heart will live for younger days. Think of me if ever you're afraid. He said one day.
Live from Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose.
Roger.
Huh?
LA departure frequency 123.9er.
Roger.
Huh?
Request vector. Over.
What?
Flight 209er clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Somebody's trying to make me stay, you know I
the vast land of America, freedom danced on the breeze, whispering its promise to all who embraced its call. From the East Coast to the West, people of diverse backgrounds united under the banner of liberty. They forged a nation where dreams knew no bounds, possibilities stretched as far as the horizon. In this great land, immigrants sought refuge from oppression, and pioneers carved paths through untamed wilderness. They built a tapestry of cultures, religions, and ideas that flourished side by side, enriching the nation's fabric. Through the struggles and triumphs, America grew, and the voices of the people resonated, demanding justice, equality, and inalienable rights that belong to every single soul. The spirit of freedom surged through the hearts of Americans, propelling them forward. And so, the architects of the nation inscribed the preamble to the Constitution, a testament to the grand vision that they held. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The preamble has become a beacon of hope, a guiding light illuminating the path toward a future where freedom will forever reign. In the embrace of liberty, Americans found strength, unity, and an enduring spirit, a land where the pursuit of happiness knows no limits, and the dream of freedom is for you and generations yet to come. And yes, this freedom, this America, will survive.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, why with
let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material contributions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn they're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
You're listening to On Top of the World. I'm Christopher Story, along with Mr. David Webb. I want to thank Horizon Wireless for helping bring this show to you. We count on wireless. We count on it every single day. You do as well. Well, we count on Horizon Wireless. 226-3130. 226-3130. Tell them we sent you from here on Top of the World. Coming up, we've got your round one Mindbender presented by Captain's Coffee. A short story about a woman lost in the woods in a war like none other you've ever heard of when we return here to the Top of the World. You are listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. This really is what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Are you calling her a liar? I didn't think you would. It really is the greatest show on earth. And if you don't believe my mom, you can go to my website. It says it right there. ilovehomeralaska.com/podcast. And you can listen to over 750 episodes and see for yourself. And after you've listened to those episodes, then you tell me what you think about my mama. Then you tell me. Leave the mothers out of it. But for now, go to ilovehomeralaska.com/podcasts and check it out. Time now for your Mindbender presented by Captain's Coffee in Homer, Alaska, serving arguably the world's best cup.
You did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They got an awful lot of coffee.
Start your day out right with Captain's Coffee, brewed fresh constantly, every minute on the minute, every minute in the hour. Plus, you could take the beans home and grind them yourself, fresh daily, or have them mailed directly to you. Go to their website, captainscoffee.com. In the greater metroplex of Homer, Alaska, on Pioneer Avenue, across from the Salvation Army, drive in or come in and have an incredible biscuit, sausage biscuit with egg and cheese. Come on. Remember, Lance absconded with a recipe for those biscuits from a little old woman at McDonald's back in 1974, so you know they're good. Best you've ever had at captainscoffee.com.
And was fine, the great big $50 bill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
All right, your question today, you know how to play the game. You text message me at 907-299-7653, 907-299-7653. Enter to win by answering this and supplying your name as well. First name is fine. By texting me the answer to this question. And I'll start with a little preamble. No, I won't. I'll start with a question and I'll add some preamble to it. So that'll be postamble, pamble, if you will, pamble to follow. Would you support a bill in Alaska that would disallow any PAC money entering Alaska campaigns, any outside PAC money, period? So, I mean, I'm talking like none. Not just limited, not just full disclosure that it was Mitch McConnell and the gang in the Senate that put forward $15 million to prop up Lisa Murkowski's campaign. Whether you like Lisa or not, this is outside of that. You could be the biggest Lisa fan in the world and still object to the fact that Mitch McConnell from Kentucky orchestrated a coup in Alaska, altering the outcome of the election by pumping $15 million into our senatorial campaigns and our elections. Is that something you support? In other words, I'll repeat the question. Would you support a bill in Alaska that would disallow 100% of PAC money entering Alaskan campaigns, even for federal office? And let me put it this way. What if in the end, 750,000 of us, so my Irish relatives would say, 750,000, that's all there are of you. Do you realize that? And about half of you vote. Half of the eligible people vote. So what are we talking? 250,000, 300,000 people. are voting, and $15 million was alone spent by Mitch McConnell, who ought to retire, but nobody has the guts in his family and or Kentucky to say, Mitch, come home. You need some medical care, buddy. You need to go home and let somebody else take. No, won't do that. And he's going to pump another how many millions into Senator Sullivan's campaign coming up. Would you support a law? Now, you could get into the nitty-gritty, into the details later and find out that, I actually can't do that in Alaska. Look, I'm asking a theoretical question. If it were possible, would you support a bill in Alaska that would disallow any PAC money coming into Alaska from outside of Alaska on any campaign or any election at all, be it an initiative to legalize, say, marijuana or whatever's next, meth, I don't know. Any campaign at all whatsoever would be limited to Alaskan dollars, period. Would you support that? 299-7653, 907-299-7653.
Finding yourself in the Alaskan backwoods. As a wildlife enthusiast, Sarah was thrilled to explore the untamed beauty of the Alaskan backwoods. Armed only with a camera and a map, she ventured into the vast wilderness with excitement. The tall trees and snow-capped mountains surrounded her, and she felt a sense of exhilaration and solitude she'd never experienced before in her life. After hours of wandering, Sarah became engrossed in photographing a group of majestic bald eagles. She didn't even notice the subtle shift in her surroundings. When she finally looked up, she realized she had lost her way. Panic set in as she tried to retrace her steps, but the dense foliage made it impossible to find her path to safety. With each passing minute, the daylight waned, casting an eerie glow over the forest. Sarah's heart pounded as she realized the seriousness of her situation. She knew she had to remain calm and think rationally. Consulting her map, she tried to identify landmarks, but the dense forest canopy obscured her view of the sun. As the temperature dropped, Sarah wrapped herself in her jacket and prayed for help. Her survival instincts kicked in, and she decided to find higher ground to get a better vantage point. Climbing a nearby hill, she strained her eyes to spot any sign of civilization or landmarks, but all she saw were endless trees and wilderness. Darkness settled in. Sarah's fear intensified. She heard mysterious rustlings around her, imagining bears and wolves lurking in the shadows. She needed shelter for the night, so she gathered twigs and leaves to build a makeshift shelter. The cold wind cut through her bones, and she longed for the warmth of her home. The night was long and restless. Every little sound startled her awake, and she kept her camera close, using the flash to scare away any potential predators. When the first light of dawn finally broke, Sarah knew she had to keep moving if she had any hope of surviving and finding help. Exhausted and hungry, she continued her journey, following a stream downhill in hopes of finding civilization. Her steps were slow and deliberate. With each passing hour, her hope dwindled. But as she was about to give up, she heard the faint sound of an engine. Overwhelmed with joy, Sarah frantically let out a desperate cry for help. Soon, a group of hikers appeared, led by an experienced guide. Relieved beyond words, Sarah thanked her rescuers. The guide patted her on the shoulder and said, "Getting lost in the Alaska backwoods is a rite of passage for adventurers like us. But always remember, nature is both breathtaking and unpredictable. Respect it, and it will lead you home." With newfound humility and gratitude, Sarah returned home, cherishing her Alaskan adventure and the lessons it taught her about the wilderness and her own self. From that day on, she looked at the world with more profound respect and a sanguinity that came from knowing she could survive the most challenging situations, and she never forgot that Alaska is always trying to kill you.
And in the caribou tundra, in the wild barren land, on the fierce Arctic ice where the polar bears stand, where the trail of the Eskimo hunter is worn, this is the country where legends are born. Where the northern lights blaze above a cold Arctic haze, and caribou come to an old shaman's drum. In saloons and in dance halls they talked of the gold. There were stories of fortune, stories of coal. The trail of the weary gold miner is worn. This is the country where legends are born. Where they measured a man by the gold in his hand, the speed of his gun, for the dogs he would run. They came here to settle, to build a new land. In her mountains and valleys, in the cabins they stand. And the trail of the hardy homesteader is worn. This is the country where legends are born. These fields you see now were broke by their plow, and their children have grown to build homes of their own. And in the caribou tundra, in the wild barren land, on the fierce Arctic ice where the polar bear stands, where the trail of the Eskimo hunter is worn. Ah, this is the country where legends are born.
Legend himself, that's Alaska's balladeer, Hobo Jim Varsos. Miss that guy. But his music is still with us, so he is not forgotten. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got a war like none other. A war that I could almost predict you can't even imagine. Plus, we've got your TBC Radio Word, times like these, and a story about overcoming an obstacle that is also hard to imagine. Our Mindbender Round 1 is presented by Captain's Coffee, and we'll close it out after this brief timeout in just a moment. This will be the last opportunity to weigh in on this at 907-299-7653. If you text your name and answer to weigh in on this question, would you support a bill in Alaska that would disallow any PAC money entering Alaska from outside, any money whatsoever? In other words, I don't care if it's an initiative to legalize or criminalize something, for that matter, to enter a Senate, like a federal Senate race or House race, or a state House or state Senate, or your local assembly person or councilman or woman. Just, I'm talking no outside money, period. We're 750,000 people. Can we figure this out? Can we just survive on the money intrastate that to elect the people that we want to best represent us? Would you support that bill? I'm not suggesting it can be done or accomplished. We'll get into the weeds later. My question is there a will of the people to enact some sort of a law that would regulate and criminalize any money being funneled in from outside, such as what Mitch McConnell pulled off in the last senatorial election? And again, you could be Lisa's biggest fan and still go, $15 million to cut down Kelly Chewbacca and prop up Lisa Murkowski. $15 million. And both sides take the money. It's not a partisan issue. It's a Alaskan issue. Would you support that? I would. It's the reason I'm asking the question. It's just like you go into your local bookstore and they censor by what they do not carry on their shelves. I censor by how I ask the question or ask the question. I'm asking the question because I would support it, but I truthfully want to know what you think. It's a poll of the people. You are the people. We are the people. And I'm curious as to what you'd say. Christopher Storr here on Top of the World, along with Mr. David Webb. We'll be right back with a war you've never heard of. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Storr, along with Mr. David Webb. It looks like the prevailing answer to our Mindbender Round 1 question. So far, I've only counted about, looks like I've counted about a third of the votes, but overwhelmingly, it looks like if I just were to boil it down to one answer, it's yes, you would support a bill in Alaska that would disallow PAC money or any campaign finance coming in from outside. You're welcome to continue to weigh in on that. Some people are getting loquacious with their answers, and that's fine. I like that and appreciate it. I like the discussion and the conversation. But if you want to just come in at yes or no, you'll enter to win a free coffee card at Captain's Coffee. All right, coming up in just a little bit, we've got round two. Right now, I want to talk about a war like none other. And I'm guessing, if I had to guess, or I'd almost put money on this, that you've never heard of this war. It's called Tug of War. That's right. Did you know that Tug of War, the child's game that you undoubtedly enjoyed on the playground at recess, was at one time an Olympic sport? Did you know that? From 1900 up until 1920, the sport of kings was Tug of War. 1900 to 1920, and of course there was a break during the World War I, 1916, there were no Olympics, but only men, this won't surprise you, only men were allowed to compete in this great sport. Countries could enter multiple teams, matches in the Olympics now. Mind you, this is an Olympic sport of tug of war. These matches would go on for 5 minutes. Each team would attempt to pull their opponents 6 feet from the starting point. If neither team achieved the 6 foot marker, not a problem. It wasn't a draw. The team that come closer was deemed the gold medalist. It's hard to say gold medalist relative to tug of war without laughing. London hosted a tug of war event in three Summer Olympics, 1908, 1948, and 2012. Wait a minute. Is it back in? What does that mean, 2012? Like, it can't be right. Eight cities have hosted the Summer Olympics twice. I don't care about that. First tug of war gold medal went to a coalition of athletes between Sweden and Denmark. Ah, yes. The Nordic often are the heavyweights in this kind of a war, you can imagine. But Great Britain had the most success overall, winning a grand total of five medals. That's right. They medaled five times at the tug of war, two of which were gold. So the international IOC, in their infinite wisdom, removed tug of war for some reason after 1920 to be more selective with their sports. But get this, this is not fiction. There exists something called the Tug of War International Federation, which now will include men and women. And they've also got a junior league. Over 70 nations participate at different weight classes. Isn't that kind of cool? Actually, I think it's kind of cool. This is all tongue in cheek, but at the same time, I actually really smiled all the way through reading this article. Tug of War is part of the World Games also, which is a quadrennial event, you know this, showcasing non-Olympic sports such as bowling, kickboxing, you know, classics like trampoline, gymnastics. And here's my real question, though. Amongst these sports at the World Games, where's dodgeball? I mean, that's the sport of champions.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
Oh, I love dodgeball. I was great at it.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry, there'll be days like this. When you don't get betrayed.
You're listening to the Top of the World. This is Radio on Purpose, and I am a person. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Just submitted my newest book to Audible this morning. That will be about 10 business days is what they say it takes to get a book through their process. Michael Dukes did the narration. It's called The Watchman. It's a Jacob Mann novel. It's an adventure set in Homer, Alaska. It's not for the faint of heart. It's a dark story. It's a thriller and crime thriller read with a sicko at the heart of it. Not Jacob. Jacob's the hero. But the book is available ebook or paperback at Amazon, or you can go right to my website, ilovehomeralaska.com/books. You can also get The Backyard Millionaire, Born to Live, The Making of Man, and upcoming by Thanksgiving,
and I keep putting this out there publicly because I'm putting myself on the line, that by Thanksgiving you could have in your hands the sequel to The Backyard Millionaire called The Schoolyard Millionaire, the ABCs of wealth building and building a life you love. And that'll be available as of September. I'm enjoying the heck out of writing that. These sunny days, I take the laptop out to the deck and just absolutely love writing that book. It's a great, great little story, and I'm just super anxious to share it with the world. It's time for your TBC Radio Word. That's right. The Word is presented each week right here on Top of the World by TBC Radio and tbcradio.com. You can call Josiah at 803-9424. 803-9424. Get the word out about your business right here on the radio, right in your own backyard with tbcradio.com. Today's word is a little known word. It's a synonym for optimism, and it is also sort of reflective of a positive, hopeful outlook on life and circumstances out of your control. And that word is sanguinity. Oh, isn't that awesome? Sanguinity. Sanguinity is a beautiful word spelled S-A-N-G-U-I-N-I-T-Y, sanguinity. Derived from the Latin sanguis or sangui, which means blood, it is related to the medieval belief in four humors where sanguine referred to a temperament characterized by optimism, cheerfulness, and hopefulness. Despite facing numerous setbacks, Barbara maintained her sanguinity, always believing that things would turn out for the best. Ever calling on his sanguinity, Joe stumbled his way through the four-sentence speech and inspired a nation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
That's inspiring.
Now, on the political scene, one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech. And apparently, he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him. And then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry. He reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear. But fear itself.
Come on, come on, come on.
I'm a man without conviction.
Oh, I know I'm not alone in missing Johnny Carson. I love growing up with him. I said this before, but being able to grow up in an era with which Ronald Reagan was president, Paul Harvey was king of the airwaves, and Johnny Carson was king of late night. It's pretty cool. You are, in fact, listening to what my mom calls the greatest show on earth on Top of the World Radio. Christopher Story here along with Mr. David Webb. Thank you for being here. I've got a cool story coming up in a little bit that's designed to inspire. And make no bones about that. I didn't write this little short story to do anything other than inspire. So I hope it works for you. But right now, speaking of Paul Harvey, it's time for times like these, with which Paul Harvey said the thing about them is there have always been times like these.
And it's times like these we can't replace. It's times like these we must embrace. And even though it's bittersweet, it brings us to our knees. It makes us who we are in times like these.
All right, trigger warning. Like to put that out there, just a trigger warning. Our first times like these happened August 1st, 1498. In 1498, Christopher Columbus discovered the islands of Trinidad during his third voyage to the Americas. Hence the trigger warning. I just think it's only fair if one were to mention Christopher Columbus. Be fair and just say, look, I'm about to trigger you, potentially. On this day, August 1st, 1714, George, Elector of Hanover, was proclaimed king George I of Great Britain, marking the beginning of the Hanoverian dynasty. Of course, who could forget that? I love the bumper sticker or the meme or whatever that says, I stopped caring about the royals in 1776. August 1st, 1834, slavery was abolished in the British Empire, resulting in the emancipation of over 800 enslaved Africans, 800,000, almost a million, in 1834, August 1st. August 1st, 1914, Germany declared war on Russia, marking the beginning of World War I. On this day, August 1st, 1966, the University of Texas in Austin suffered a tragic mass shooting when Charles Whitman killed 16 people and injured 31 more from the observation deck at the UT Tower with a rifle. That was 1966 at the University of Texas, Austin. On this day, August 1st, 1944, Anne Frank made her last diary entry while hiding. Her diary became one of the most famous accounts of the Holocaust in all of history. And I can't help but read that and just think, I just can't imagine. Can't imagine what her little life was like, and that's just, it's tragic. And inspiring, and she really, her sacrifice was never forgotten. August 1st, 1939, Albert Einstein wrote a letter to FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, urging the United States to develop atomic weapons due to his concerns about Nazi Germany. Other things happening this month, August 5th, coming up here shortly, 1962, American actress and cultural icon Marilyn Monroe was found dead in her home in Los Angeles, California, at the age of 36. Her death remains a subject of speculation and controversy to this day. The following day, August 6th, 1945, United States dropped an atomic bomb on the Japanese city of Hiroshima, leading to the deaths of an estimated 140,000 people. Ending the war would bring it to an end. Nagasaki to follow. August 9th. Boy, August was a busy month in history. August 9th, coming up shortly, folks. 1974, it happened before, it could happen again. Richard M. Nixon became the first president to resign from office. His resignation was a result of the Watergate scandal. And no, it actually wasn't. It would be the cover-up that actually, I think, caused his resignation.
And all I remember your back, walking towards the airport, leaving us all in your past. I traveled 1500 miles to see you. Begged you to want me, but you didn't want to.
You're listening to On Top of the World. I've got an inspirational story when we return and round two of our Mind Bender presented by AJ's Old Town Steakhouse. Stick around. We'll be right back to the top of the world.
Piece by piece, you feel the holes that you burned in me. At 6 years old, you know, she'll never walk away.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Time now for Mind Bender round two. Brought to you today by AJ's Old Town Steakhouse in Old Town Homer. Grab a loved one or three and make a reservation at AJ's online at ajsteakhouse.com. That's ajsteakhouse.com. Or you can do what I do and just call 235-9949. Let them enter you into the system. They'll text you a confirmation, 235-9949. A beloved Alaskan steakhouse with seafood so fresh. That's right, the fishermen are still sitting at the bar lying to each other. That's how fresh it is. AJ's, where the elite meet for the best meat and seafood Alaska has to offer. All right, here's your question today. W. Clement Stone said, big doors swing on small hinges. Well, that's one of my favorite quotes. It's one of my favorite inspirational quotes to think about, along with Change Your Thoughts, Change Your World by Norman Vincent Peale. But I have a few of those on deck that I just will remind myself in some tough situations or share with people that might need just a small nugget of inspiration. My question for you is, what's an inspirational go-to quote for you that you love or live by and that you share with other people? At 907-299-7653, what inspirational quote do you like, love, or live by and share with other people? At 907-299-7653.
In the heart of a bustling city, where tall buildings towered over the streets and neon lights illuminated the darkest corners, lived a young boy named Alex. Abandoned by his parents at a tender age, he found himself all alone, left to fend for himself in a world that seemed merciless and unforgiving. Fear gripped Alex's heart as he navigated the treacherous city streets, surrounded by the constant threat of gangs and violence and drugs. Loneliness weighed heavily on his shoulders, and he yearned for someone to hold him, to tell him that everything would be all right. But amidst the chaos, he discovered a spark within, a determination to rise above his circumstances and find a way to create a better life for himself. As he roamed the streets, hunger gnawed at his stomach, a reminder that the harsh reality he was facing every day was very real. But amidst the hardships, a glimmer of hope appeared in the form of a kind-hearted woman named Mary. She ran a small shelter for homeless youth, offering them warmth and sustenance, and her compassionate eyes saw something very special in Alex. Mary became the light that guided him through the darkness. She took him under her wing, providing him with a bed to rest his weary head and the chance to attend school. Her care and encouragement ignited a flame already burning inside of Alex, propelling him to excel academically and to make the most of his second chance at life. Yet, the streets still called to him, luring him back with false promise of belonging. The temptation to return to his old life was strong, but Alex knew deep down that he deserved better. He knew he needed to sever ties that bound him to the dangerous underworld. With a steely resolve, Alex distanced himself from gangs, refusing to engage in any violence or illegal activities. He yearned to prove himself to himself and to the world that he was more than the circumstances that had once defined him. Instead, he immersed himself in education and sought the counsel of mentors who recognized his potential. These mentors became a surrogate family, if you will, guiding Alex towards a brighter future. As the years passed, Alex's hard work and determination bore fruit. He earned a scholarship to a prestigious university, but it wasn't just about the accolades. It was about proving that he was worthy of a better life. Graduating at near top of his class, he felt a mix of pride and disbelief, as if he were living in a dream. One man in particular saw something extraordinary in Alex and offered him a chance to prove himself in the business world. With relentless passion and an unwavering work ethic, Alex quickly climbed the ladder of success. He started his own business then, driven by a desire to create opportunities for others who face similar hardships. Through sheer perseverance, Alex's company flourished, becoming a massive success. But he didn't forget about his roots. The memory of those cold nights on the streets and the desperate need for hope fueled his drive to make a difference. Alex would use his wealth and influence to establish programs that helped young people escape the clutches of violence and poverty. As Alex's success grew, so did his impact on his own community. He built schools, shelters, community centers. Alex poured his heart and soul into each endeavor. He became a beacon of hope for countless of young souls who, just like him, had once felt lost and abandoned by the world. In the end, Alex's journey from a lonely boy on the city streets to a symbol of hope and success was an emotional roller coaster. It taught him a profound lesson, though, that even in the darkest of times, the strength to overcome lies within each of you. With the right support and unwavering determination, you can rise above the darkness and transform your life into a radiant beacon of hope for other people. And that's exactly what Alex did.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me. You're not strong, and I'll be somebody to lean on.
One of the greatest things about, I think, optimism and looking for the brighter side of any circumstance or situation is a self-empowerment. The idea that you are self-determinant in what you do about what happens, not that you can control what happens necessarily, but you have a lot, if not 100%, of the control over how you react. So it's E plus R equals O. Event, out of your control, but you add that with your response and your reaction, that will determine the outcome. That comes from Jack Canfield, made over $1 billion selling books. That's right. Soup, what is it? Soup for the, yeah, Chicken Soup for the Soul. That was what he did. Over $1 billion he and his partner Mark Victor Hansen made selling the truth, actually, and optimism.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call.
I asked you for your favorite quote. Jeff's is, "You never get a chance to, second chance to make a first impression." That's a good one. It is very good. What's funny, though, is the text messages are still coming in relative to campaign finance reform. And Alaskans, according to my small amount of research right here, right now with you, says you don't want money coming in from outside to control or influence your federal election. Some of you feel incredibly hardened and powerful about how you, it's not just a, I don't know, maybe not. No, it's a hell no. Including Deborah and Jason, both going to Captain's Coffee, by the way, for their answers in regards to that. And Jeff is getting a gift card for AJ's Old Town Steakhouse. Yeah, I'm pretty convinced that it's going to be up to you and me if we're going to make a difference on anything. My wife just recently, Tiffany, just sent some messages to our council, several council members, because there's a section of the Homer Spit that is unguarded. And it's just that we keep looking at it and saying it's an accident waiting to happen. And with distracted drivers, we see them every day. You see people looking at their phones more often than not, more often than the windshield, it seems. It's just a matter of time before a whole family is wiped out. And there's this whole section of a guardrail that's just missing from the Homer Spit for, what, a mile plus. And why? Nobody knows. Not one human being knows why there's guardrail missing along a pedestrian trail. And but what you do find is people within city government, a lot of times, they have their hands full. And look, I am draining the swamp in five different departments. I really don't have time to think about these things. Besides, it's a state road. So what it takes is an initiative and an inertia from the people to speak up and say, what can we do to help you bring the state's awareness and attention to this and deal with it? And it's the same thing here with state finance reform relative to campaigning. And I'll never forget Kelly Chewbacca telling me that privately, Senator Sullivan was supporting her to her face privately, but publicly campaigning and endorsing Lisa Murkowski, because that's just how, we just have to do that. She's an incumbent. I really don't have a choice in that matter. I've got to support her. But he really wanted Kelly to win, along with, $15 million that she did not get Senator Sullivan's support, and had $15 million bucks coming in. You and I can make a difference. That's what I'm saying. Remember, look forward, but live in the present. That's where the good life is. We'll see you next week.